Thank you, Mike, very much, and happy Sabbath, everyone. Well, if you've read the Sabbath thought today, you've read my message, because that's a little encapsulation of what I'm going to be speaking about. Well, our words really matter, and they're very, very important to God. A lot of times we don't look at it that way, but nevertheless, they are. So this message is about our words, it's about our speech, it's about the things we say and the way that we say them. And some years ago, the company that I'm working for called in several communication experts throughout a couple of years because they wanted to have us better communicate with one another out at work. And one of the companies handed out a little booklet, and in reading it, they said that about 90% of all the stuff that comes over your internet is just a waste of time, because we don't bother with it that much. I've got a question for everybody this afternoon. Why are we all here today? What are we doing here? God answers that question in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1. He says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God, which is where we are today. Go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they're doing. Verse 2, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God's in heaven and you're on this earth. So let your words be few. Going from verse 4 on, we see that this type of a thing can happen often to us. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow or a promise to God, promise is what we use today, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow at all than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. Do not protest to the temple messenger, my promise was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. Turning over the page, we're going to come to Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 11. The more the words, the less the meaning. And how does that profit anyone? We think by talking and talking and talking and talking that we're really getting things across when we're making it worse on ourselves. You really want to find confusion, ask for directions going someplace, and they'll have you driving off the Santa Monica Pier. I mean, it's just amazing. We think that talking is where it's all at. Well, the more of my words, the less they mean. Where did Solomon get this idea? Well, some of it came from his father. Psalms 46:10 says, be still, know that I am your God. I'm going to go to Psalms 41 and verse 3. It's talking about God helping me to watch my words. Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Eternal. Keep watch over the door of my lips. In other words, let me think about what I'm going to say before I actually get down to saying it. Don't make a quick response that I'll be sorry for later. I'm going to go to James 5 and verse 12 because he cuts this down even shorter. He's not talking about one word after another. Listen to what he says in the last half of James 5 and verse 12. Let your yes be yes. That's down to one word. And your no be no, or you will be condemned. You'll be condemned. This comes from his brother Jesus Christ. And he says it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 37. Matthew 5, verse 37. Christ is speaking here, and in verse 37 he says, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from where? Comes from Satan. If we promise, make a promise to help somebody come and move in the morning at 8 o'clock, we're going to be there, and we don't get there till noon, where does all that stuff come from? I was curious if I could find any spot in which Almighty God actually followed this in the Old Testament. Few words. Did he ever say a few words? Well, 1 Samuel 23, David and his forces destroy a bunch of Philistines and free a little city of Keilah. In the meantime, David hears a rumor after that Saul is coming with thousands and thousands of warriors, and he's going to take David right then and there. So David asks God about this rumor in verse 11. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 11. Will Saul come down, as your servant has heard? O eternal God of Israel, tell your servant. And the eternal said two words, just two words, to this crucial question. He said, he will. Two words is all he said, but that's all David needed to know. So God follows his own word, few words. Again, David asked, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? In other words, were they going to throw us under the bus? And the Eternal said, they will. Again, just two words. Few words are better than long, long dissertations where you go back and forth and back and forth and don't really come to the point. Well, some years ago, Anna and I were at a dinner with about a dozen people. It was a dress-up dinner, and there was a long table set out for us, and I was sitting just left of the center of the table. And, of course, you know, we start out talking about health. We talk about car trouble. Talk about a new baby. We talk about a death in the family. And finally, what do we get around to? The thing that everybody's wanting. Gossip. Everybody wants to hear the latest little thing about what's happening in somebody's life who is not at the table. So they start out, these gals, pretty much women, because I didn't know who they were talking about. This lady says something, this lady says something, this lady says another thing, and they're going back and forth. Some guy chimes in. There was a lady sitting across from me that hadn't said anything. She was quiet. So finally she says, I too could talk about this woman and condemn her, but I am not going to, because God, listen to the courage she had, God will hear me and will not like it. You are now going through exactly what happened after her comment. It went stone silent. Not a word, because everybody knew that she was right. And she framed her words instead of saying, well, you guys are guilty of gossip. You shouldn't be gossiping. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't say that. Didn't condemn anybody. She put herself at the top of the list. I too could say something. She didn't put anybody down. She said, God will hear me. Well, if God could hear her, he could hear everybody. And they all understood and took it in and silent, and that stopped all the gossip right there. One woman with just a few courageous words. Now we are going to go to some gossip. And there's a number of scriptures here in the third page. I looked up gossip in the Webster Dictionary, and it comes out that it's a person who chatters and chatters or repeats idle talk or rumors, especially private affairs of others. And we shouldn't be entering into those things. These comments that I have here are taken from the CEB Bible, also Contemporary English Version. And the first, I'm going to go through these quickly because there's quite a few of them here. This is about gossip. The first one I have is Psalm 15:3. Don't spread gossip. Treat others fairly and don't say cruel things. If you can't say something nice, I remember my grandmother saying this, don't say anything. Don't say anything if you can't say something nice. Psalm 31:20. You are their shelter from harmful plots, and you are their protection from vicious gossip. That's what this lady was I just told you about. She protected this woman, this friend of hers, because she come out and put a stop to all gossip and never insulted anyone. She had a beautiful way of putting things. Psalm 54 and verse 6. When visitors come, all they ever bring are worthless words. And when they leave, they spread gossip. That's got to be from the heart of King David. Psalm 62, 12. Rulers and judges gossip about me, and drunkards make up songs to mock me. And that goes on all the time to this day. They cause trouble for people who you have already punished. Their gossip hurts those who are wounded. So I'm thinking here that David has probably handed out punishment to somebody, and their gossip, people are gossiping about that, which should not be among us. Psalms 101, verse 5. Anyone who spreads gossip will be silenced. This particular verse makes me wonder if the psalmist is writing about the kingdom of God and the resurrection. Makes me wonder that. Gossip will be silenced. Proverbs 11:9. Dishonest people use gossip to destroy their neighbors. Verse 13. Gossip tells everything, but a true friend, will keep his secret to the grave. Proverbs 16:28. Gossip is no good. It causes hard feelings and comes between friends. Proverbs 18:8. There's nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth. Proverbs 25:9. When you and someone else can't get along, don't gossip about it. Out to work about a month ago, one of the guys came to me wanting a special tool. So I got it off my truck, gave it to him, made a comment, went back to work. Then my conscience up here begins to think back about that. I wonder if I offended him. No, you didn't offend him. Did I offend that guy? Well, I wonder if I offended him. Yeah, you might have. You might have offended him. No, I don't think so. Did you offend that guy or didn't you? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So my conscience turned this whole thing around, and I decided what I'm going to do is go and apologize to him right then and there. So I set everything down and went to the where he was working, and what do I see? I see him in his pickup driving out of the yard there 2 hours ahead of time. So what am I thinking? That did bother him, and he got upset about it, went to the bosses, and they gave him the rest of the day off, so he didn't have to be around me. So I'm thinking, now how is this going to work out? I prayed about it and asked God to help me. I said, in the morning, I'm going to go and apologize to him. As soon as the meeting was over, I went over and said, hey, I got to have a word with you. I said, I'm going to apologize to you for the comment I made the other day. And I said, I know I hurt your feelings on that. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about when you come over and got that tool from me. Don't apologize to me. You don't owe me an apology. Don't apologize. And he said it in that tone of voice. Don't apologize. He said, that's just life out here in the construction industry. He said, that meant nothing to me. Nothing. Don't apologize. In fact, I thought it was funny. So, your worst fears get compounded sometimes, but this time, it all worked out well. God blessed me as a result of going and talking to him. Third John 10. This is John talking about Diotrephes. He's an elder in the church there, and I'm not sure where that was at because they don't say. So if I come, I'll remind him, Diotrephes, of how he has been attacking us with gossip. Not only has he been doing this, but he refuses to welcome any of the Lord's followers who come by. And when other church members want to welcome them, he puts them out of the church. Here's a guy who has really had things going the wrong way. Well, I want to end this message on a positive note, and I'm going to continue with the same format. I'm going to continue to read various things where Solomon has talked about kindness, goodness, charity, and so on. And we're still reading from the CEV Bible. Proverbs 6:2, we are trapped by our own words. That's true. We say too much, and we eventually come around full circle. That happens with when the electricity's out of work. He'd get a call on how to do something on a barge offshore, and there was one particular person there who would talk, and the electrician wouldn't say anything. He just let him go on and talk and talk. And eventually, what happened was, he came all the way around to where he started and figured out the problem all by himself. In total silence, the electrician never said anything. And that may not be trapped by your own words, but he figured out his own problem. Proverbs 8, verse 9. If you have understanding, you will see that my words are just what you need. And that's God's word he's talking about here. Proverbs 10:6. Everyone praises good people. And there's truth in that. If you do a good job, you'll be praised for it. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The words of good people are a source of life. I wondered also if that is about eternal life. Proverbs 10, verse 20, the words of a good person are like pure silver. Proverbs 12, 18, words of wisdom heal. A kind answer in chapter 15, verse 1, soothes angry feelings. Excuse me. And Colin Powell's biography, or autobiography, he was in, at the this time of his life, he was in Hawaii, and he was in charge of the entire island security over there. And they had a big general coming out to meet with him and talk about things. But when the general gets there, he starts changing this, changing that, altering this, altering that, canceling this, adding this, and these guys are scurrying around to get all this done. It didn't happen. So when the big night came to put all this on, there was a lot of shorts and faults and this and that that were a problem. So after it was over, Colin Powell walks out, and he is hot. He is on fire because so many things went wrong at this gathering. And he put this all on for this general, and the general was working against him. He's walking out, and he can't believe the anger that he's got. Well, with him, there happened to be a gnarly old sergeant. a low sergeant who walked out with him. And he said, "Sir," he said, "the men here all know that you didn't put this on." He said, "You've got way too much class for this. This was none of your doing whatsoever." They realized that this guy come in and started changing things because they were working on it. And he destroyed all of your efforts and all of your work. And he said, "Sir, the men here, to a man, respect you. Nobody looks down on you for all these mistakes. You got too much class, and you're too high of a caliber person to be doing any of this stuff." And Colin Powell wrote later in this book that of all the medals that he got, all of the accolades, all of the presidents he saw, all of the people that he ever met and gave him things, he said those comments from that sergeant were the greatest reward that he ever got in life. These people would go to the wall for you. Okay, Proverbs 15 and verse 2. Words of wisdom come from the wise. They don't come from fools. Verse 15 and chapter 15 and verse 4. Kind words are good medicine. I'm going to talk about my wife right here. She had a fever that would not go away. So she goes to the doctor, he gives her these pills, she takes them, doesn't do any good. So she goes to another doctor, and she says, "I've got this fever, and it won't go away." She says, "It's a mild fever, and it's there all the time." And so he says, "Well, what are you taking?" She says, "Well, I'm taking this stuff." "Well, you don't want to take that stuff. That's not for that anyway. Here, take this." So she starts taking that. Didn't work. So two of these things failed, and they're the people that we look to for help. So she's talking to, after this is over, she's talking to a relative, distant relative. She hadn't talked quite a while. And this relative says, "Boy, do I feel good." She says, "I just got so much energy, I can't believe it. This just isn't me." She said, "I'm just a dynamo. I got all this energy." So they get to talking about health. When Anna finds out what she's doing, she runs out of the store and gets some of this drink. And lo and behold, in 2 days, her low-grade fever was gone. And it's still gone to this day. And that happened because people were talking kindly about medical issues. Okay, Proverbs 15:7, words of wisdom make good sense. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey. They cheer you up and make you feel strong, just like with Colin Powell. Proverbs 17:27 makes a lot of sense for a person with a few words to stay calm. That's true. Because words, when guys start to talk, these words propel people on down a certain path, and there begins to be an argument before too long. So that's a true comment. I've seen that happen. In fact, I'll comment about one thing here in a minute. Proverbs 18:4, words of wisdom are a stream that flows from a deep fountain. 18 verse 20, make your words good and you'll be glad you did. So in other words, keep your promises. You promise to be there at 8:00 in the morning, be there. Because that's what people are counting on. We're all counting on the words that we say to others. They're counting on our words, we're counting on their words. Words can bring death or life. Talk too much, and you'll eat everything you say. Before the company I'm working for now, this has been years and years ago, we had a safety meeting, and usually he did not conduct the meeting, but he's the main guy on the, can't think of his name right now, but the main guy on the job was over everything. He holds this meeting and we're all there, and he's talking and talking about we're gonna need this done, this done, this done, and one guy asked a question, and it bothered this director. What did he say? He said, stay in this meeting and come in the office and I'll get you your check. He had to have previous problems with the boss because the comment he made wasn't serious enough to terminate him. But the boss flared up at this and he was gone. So words really matter. Sensible words, Proverbs 20 and verse 15, are better than gold or jewels. And we want to listen carefully, Proverbs 22 and verse 21, listen carefully when your boss talks. Proverbs 29:19, even when servants are smart, it takes more than words to make them obey. And in some cases, that's true. Proverbs 31:26, listen to this, ladies. This is about the woman in Proverbs 31. Her words are sensible and her advice is thoughtful. Dropping down to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 11, words of wisdom are like a stick a farmer uses to make his animals move. These sayings come from God, our only shepherd, and they are like nails that fasten things together. This is from the CEV Bible. Last comment. Ecclesiastes 12:13. This may be the greatest verse in the Bible. Everything you were ever taught can be put in a few words. What do you think those words are? Respect and obey God. This is what life is all about. Have a great Sabbath, brethren.